joining us on another edition of the Stack Pack, where we can help you solve a mystery. Just kidding, that's not it.
That was good.
Wow, that was rough.
Well, I mean, Robert Stack kind of like changes it up. Like I've been beholden to like the original thing, but he says different things. Hey, did you know that there's 12 seasons of
the Stack Pack of Stack?
I thought there was just 9. Did you know this?
Did they add more?
Where did we see more seasons?
Was it Peacock?
Amazon?
It was
oh no, it's not on Amazon anymore.
Service that we just got.
Oh, Discovery Plus.
Was it? Yeah, it was.
So
Discovery.
Now you're telling me I'm gonna have to get Discovery Plus.
I think it was Peacock. So
say cock again.
Cock. And I looked it up. The last 2 years. Okay, so the last 2 years were on Lifetime. So there's only like six or eight episodes a year. But like Robert Stack is fucking old.
I forgot it was on Lifetime.
Like he's very old. Like,
I heard
he's still great.
One semi of foundation.
And then like the new high def televisions, you can tell everything.
You mean 480p?
Dude,
it still wasn't high def.
No, but they've
it was 480p.
But what they're doing now is they're fixing up the old video to make them look a little crisper.
Oh, well, so they're adding that TikTok filter?
They can't actually do that if it was shot on video. So like Seinfeld was shot on film.
Yeah.
X-Files was shot on film, Twin Peaks. Like a lot of stuff they can HD it, but if it was actually shot on video, it's not what they call film protected. So they really can't
It's not HDing, it's TikTok filtering.
So with film film like Seinfeld, they can clear that up, all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean that's why it looks good in HD even though it's like blown up. Like even though they like
cuz I remember on HBO since I've been watching Curb all over again. The old episodes didn't look like that, but now that I'm watching them like on HBO Max, I'm like, holy shit, like it looks good. It looks really good.
Oh, even the old ones?
Even the old ones. They really went back and like fixed them. You can tell it really looks really good in HD.
Well, yeah, maybe those were always on film, which is kind of rare. Like I think one of the last shows to film completely on film was Breaking Bad. But I mean, now it's all red cameras and digital. So, yeah. I mean, it's going to be HD forever.
We stayed at this Airbnb and it had a really nice.
Hold up. Before we get there, we're all together in the same room.
I was going to get there.
Yeah.
This feels good. we've been trying to podcast for so long.
Yeah.
Six months.
No, it's not that long.
We took the summer off, even though we didn't say we were or plan it or anything.
We always
Hey, guys,
breaks.
We'll be back next week. 5 weeks later.
You know what? I if people really, really like us, I would get really upset because Kevin Smith and what's his name? Matt
Mosier?
Mosier. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Matt Moira? Matt Mosier? Mosier?
Matt Myra.
Matt Myra. Yeah, they did that.
So Scott, I'm thinking of Scott Mosier from Smodcast, which is his original.
No. For Talk Salad and Scrambled Eggs.
Yeah.
They did that podcast with about Frasier, and I loved it. I used to listen to it all the time, and they stopped doing it.
Yeah, because they're just so busy. Matt Myra and Matt Gourley do James Bonding.
Yeah.
But there's not, you know, they've covered all the movies like twice now. They're just like all of us waiting for that new fucking movie.
The new movie?
That's supposed to come out a year ago. It's supposed to come out March 2020.
Who's going
to
be the new Bond?
It's Daniel Craig's last.
Oh, is it? I thought they had already cast a new one.
And Gary Fukunaga directed it, and he's the first American to He's the first American to helm a Bond movie, and he's the guy who did the first season of True Detective, so I'm pretty excited.
That was the best season of True Detective.
Yeah. The third one was really good, too.
I haven't seen it yet, but
people say the second one was fart. I think I watched maybe one episode and don't remember anything about it, but the third one was good.
I wasn't too impressed with the second one. People that really watched the whole thing said it was really good, but the third one looks promising. It's with
the third one's dope. Yeah. I liked it.
What's that actor?
Steven Dorff and
is he back?
Mahershala Ali are the stars of it.
Really?
Mahershala Ali? Yeah, and they play these cops like from the 80s. Like you see them in like different times in their
wait Steven Dorff from
Blade yeah
and really
from my favorite 80s horror movie The Gate one of them where he was like a 12-year-old who opens up a pit to hell while trying to dig a pool in his backyard. That movie's amazing.
The dude. Gate
yeah I little 12-year-old Steven Dorff he's it's great it's
I remember I he had movie. Cool hair in Blade that's all I remember.
Yeah.
That first scene. I was reading some article about, so cool
I was reading some article about Steven Dorff where he was just talking shit about Marvel and like all the superhero movies and how like soulless that was. It's like, You're not doing yourself any favors, Steven. Stop talking shit. He was also in a Blade movie, which is a Marvel movie.
By the way, we're in Unsolved Mysteries podcast.
Yeah. We're talking about season 5, episode 18 of that show. And
man, we've really stretched these teens. We've been trying to podcast. We've gotten new equipment. We've bought all new stuff.
Yeah.
We just haven't been able to nail it down. It's mostly my fault. It's my crazy schedule.
And like we said, we're actually all together in the same room. Eli's visiting Dan and I in El Paso, Texas. And we're sitting in, we're all together, which is pretty rare.
Well, we actually kidnapped him.
We're going to go ride horses after this. So we live in Texas and everything.
Yeah, we're going to go take our horses down to the corner store to get groceries.
Everybody here rides a Mustang.
Yeah, but you've never actually been in this room. Like, we did a podcast at your house. We did a podcast in a hotel once.
Yeah, we did.
But you've never actually been where we always do our podcast.
Have I never podcasted at your house before?
I don't think so.
No. So,
the Batman, does the Batman and Robin poster seem familiar to you?
No, well, I feel like I've been in here.
Been in here, yeah, because you guys stayed.
I don't remember. I can't believe I've never podcasted in this room before.
In the podcast room.
What?
Yeah.
This is weird.
But anyway, we're talking about Rain Boy today.
I'm still upset he hasn't commented me on my fine figure. And when I say that, I mean my grass.
Oh, it's beautiful. I did. I gave you a wonderful compliment. It looks way greener than mine right now. Mine looks like shit. That's what I'm dreading, actually, going back to Dallas and mowing that stupid lawn. Oh, I'm loving the weather here,
too.
So
you just get Jocelyn some stilettos.
Oh, yeah.
And you make yourself a nice, tall whiskey drink.
And just watch her?
Yep.
Watch. My neighbor, she's mowed the lawn before, and my neighbor across the street, he's always got probably the nicest lawn in the neighborhood. And he's an older guy. He's retired. And he asked me one day, he said, "Hey, how'd you get her to mow the lawn?" I said, "Oh, we were just busy. And she just, you know, she said she wanted to do it and help out." He said, "Well, I'll tell you what, she's way better to look at than you are."
Wow. She gave you some mixed feelings there.
Man, like, I was like, okay, I don't know how I feel about that. But
it's like, is that a compliment? Were you also at least somewhat attracted to me?
Are you lusting after my wife? What is happening? No, he's a nice guy.
Way better to look at. That's good. All right, let's get into some fucking weirdness.
I was going to say Moida, but...
Do we even... we do have one murder, at least, in this episode.
Yeah. We have a murder. We have a weird con man. Would you call him a con man?
Yeah.
A grifter?
I mean, he never paid his hospital bills, so I mean...
Yeah. I love that sound. I like when you add it in the podcast. People have said that it feels like they're hanging out with us when they have a drink and they're listening to us.
Because they hear us popping drinks. Or,
God, it feels like I'm there.
Or bubbles, because we're usually taking bubble baths while we... Yeah, that's the reason. This first case is an unexplained case, the unexplained, and we're going to be talking about Don Decker, a.k.a. Rain Boy.
February 24th, 1983. In Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, the funeral of James Kishpah is in progress. He had died of cirrhosis of the liver at the age of 63. His grandson, 21-year-old Don Decker, had been granted a furlough from the county jail to attend the funeral. Don was serving a 4-to-12-month sentence for receiving stolen property. It was a capstone of a troubled adolescence. What no one knew was that Don had been keeping a dark secret. He says that his grandfather, James, the man he was now obliged publicly to mourn, had abused him physically from the time he was 7 years old.
Our sources today are, of course, Unsolved Mysteries, like it usually is, but we also just watched a episode of Sci-Fi's Paranormal Witness, where they covered the same wacky case with some different, with more details, but also less details. So we're gonna do what we always do and go through the Unsolved Mysteries version and then kind of comment on stuff that we probably saw in this Paranormal Witness.
Mm-hmm.
And
things that were left out of one or the other.
Yeah. So let's get to it. February 24th of 1983. some asshole named James Kipshaw dies of liver cirrhosis. And apparently, everybody was at his funeral, including his grandson, Dan Decker. Dan was 21. He was on furlough from... Oh, Don Decker, sorry. He was on furlough from jail, so they let him out for the day to attend his grandpa's funeral.
And to go buy Christmas gifts.
And to go buy Christmas gifts.
Make sure you come back to jail now.
Apparently, he was in jail for 12 months, and the crime was receiving stolen property. So that's about as much info as
I think that's like when you knowingly buy like stolen goods.
Like the guys a car that, or like something big with a big price ticket or something.
Like you know, like someone tells you like, oh, like it fell off a truck. And yeah. You buy it like, you know,
like you're those receiving guys, stolen property. Those dudes that drive around in trucks when they're like, hey, you want to buy a TV?
Yeah, like, me and my wife, we bought 20 of them. We only needed six. Right.
Like a 75-inch TV is like under $800.
Oh, give me 20 bucks for it. I'll give it to you.
So Don Decker goes to his grandpa's funeral. They let him out of jail, and he fucking hates his grandfather. Apparently, his grandfather is physically abusive or was abusive to him. We don't know the specifics. They don't really get too much into it. Even the paranormal witness doesn't. The thing that the paranormal witness does a little more than this is kind of make it seem like Don was possessed by his grandfather directly. In the Unsolved Mysteries, it just kind of seemed like, oh, maybe his grandpa passed off some bad mojo and yeah. gave him the power of Rain Boy.
Dude, what? I don't understand. I don't understand how a grandfather could do that. And then also, why rain?
When you say Rain Boy, like, you know, like, can count cards, really great at blackjack. That's what you would
think, right?
It's not the prequel to Rain Man.
He's definitely not my underwear.
He was really good at Uno.
I gotta go to Kmart.
He fucked everybody up at Foursquare and what's the one?
He could count toothpicks.
The four, the with the stacks and the circles.
Connect Four.
God damn it. He was a hustler at Connect Four. Rain Boy. Okay. We ran that joke into the ground. Okay.
Fuck it. Drove it out to the desert, dug a shallow grave, and shot it in the back of the head.
I probably could edit it, make it a little tighter, but I don't think I will. So apparently, since he was seven, his grandpa fucked him. Oh, God damn it. Fucked him up. We don't know.
We don't really know.
It's not funny. It's not funny. Isn't funny. We don't know the specifics if sexual or physical. We know it's physical abuse.
We just know he was an asshole. That's all we know.
Yeah, grandpa's a dick. And he was unnerved, is what Stack says, by the way his parents glorified his grandfather's memory.
So I'd like to know, if he didn't like his grandfather, why did he decide to go to his funeral?
Get a day out of jail. Just to get out of jail? Get out of jail for a day card.
Yeah.
And
I would have just said I went. I would have went to hit the local burger place or like something you haven't eaten. Get a steak.
He says, well, they go to the pizzeria.
Oh, they go to the pizzeria. Catholic pizzeria.
Yeah, very Catholic pizzeria. that night, his friends Bob and Jeannie Kiefer offer him a place to stay. And what we learned in The Paranormal Witness is they were more of like obliging family friends. Like they were older. In the Unsolved Mysteries, they make it seem like they're kind of roughly the same age.
Yeah, like they were obviously looking like roommates. Like,
yeah.
It didn't look the way it did, the way it really was.
And also, the Kiefers were an older couple, not old, but older than him, Don, who was a young man. And they had kids.
And they had children. There's kids in Unsolved the house. Mysteries did not, that left the children out completely.
So Don, early 20s.
Yeah.
Family.
I'd say what?
Late 30s.
30s, 40s. Maybe
40s. Yeah, who knows?
It's weird. We're getting up there. We're about to be that age.
Yeah. Old shits. We're getting to that age where it would be weird if we just let a 21-year-old fucking person who's supposed to be jailed into our house. Yeah. And then get all fucking freaked out when it starts raining everywhere.
That is weird.
Actually, I don't know if I would let him in my house. I mean, he's not
like family friend though, is what.
I'm saying if I had kids, I'd be like, can you stay somewhere else
with the kids? Yeah, like I don't know, like how well did they, we don't know how well they knew him. But
funny you say that. I met this 22-year-old on Snapchat. They need a home.
They're all just hanging out at night, you know. He's like reading some random magazine. And when he says that the air began to vibrate and a dead chill came over the room. And then, of course, water started dripping from the walls, the ceiling, and everywhere all about.
And in the paranormal show, they say that he was
paranormal witness.
They say that he was attacked, right? He was attacked in upstairs.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's a part. Like a
shadow or a shadowy figure.
That definitely would go before it started raining. Yeah, in Paranormal Witness, they say that he was like upstairs in the bathroom and he like saw like a face in the window and he's like, I saw the devil. And he was like kind of reluctant to tell the family, especially in front of the kids. And then I think he eventually told the grown-ups. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's raining.
He told the grown-ups. It's like, it's not like he's 12.
Well, I'm, you know, Jaws makes fun of me too. Cause I always say that they're like when I see like a young man and he's like 20 and I say, oh, he's a kid. She gets mad. She's like, he's not a kid.
I do that too.
He's not a kid. I'm like, he's a kid. He's 20, 21. That's a kid.
Yeah.
I'm very young. I miss my 20s. Shit.
I was a kid. We were kids.
I'm like, you're a grown up. I'm a grown up. Yeah. We're all grown ups. No, I just mean because, yeah, he told the adults in the house and not the little baby children.
Yeah.
Hey, I saw the fucking devil in the window upstairs.
You want to come up there and see him yourself?
You know where you fucking piss in the middle of the night? The devil in the mirror. Yeah.
Hey, devil.
Yeah, so obviously there's nothing the water could have came from. Like, there was no pipes in that part of the house, so it's not like anything could have been leaking, so...
Oh, by the way, we also find out, in the Unsolved Mysteries, they say that it's water, but in the Paranormal Witness, they say that it didn't... It wasn't exactly water. It was liquidy and sticky, a little bit.
Kind of sticky?
Like a goo.
Like, what did you say, Dan?
Like coom.
Like
coom?
The devil's coom.
The devil's coom. Well, the priest calls it... He's like, this wasn't rain, this was mist.
Satan's custard.
The devil's mist.
Satan's custard.
Satan's custard. God damn it.
I imagine there's an ice cream shop in hell. You can get custard, but it's his coom.
Oh, Satan's custard. Get it while it's hot.
That would be hell.
Only flavor is that the atomic cinnamon fireballs. Actually, I think I'm going to confession. I'll be back, guys.
But it would make sense, is what I'm saying, for the grandpa. Because why would it be rain? Why would he?
Can you get Rogelio to come down and like fucking splash some holy water all over this bitch again?
What's his name? The guy downstairs, the priest with the purple jacket, the velvet purple jacket.
This house actually has been blessed by a Catholic priest before.
Yeah, I know.
Which is why we have no ghosts and we're fucking godless heathens.
You think you would. Which is why it's weird that you're not laughing at my devil cum joke.
I love a good devil cum joke. So the cops come too and they're dumbfounded. But what we learn in the Paranormal Witness episode is that Mr.
Paranormal Witness.
What?
Paranormal Witness.
Okay, he just whispered it.
He said paranormal.
Paranormal.
Okay, so Mr. Kiefer was actually friendly with the cop in the neighborhood, so he was like, you got to come over here. This is weird. And when the cops came, they didn't know how to explain it
and
either.
And they even told him, they're like, hey, this is a water issue. Like, this is not something we do. He's like, we just don't know what to do.
Yeah, the cop that sees it invites his partner over, and then when he tells his partner to go in, he's like, you just got to go in. He's like, well, what the fuck? I'm not going to go in. Like, tell me what I'm walking into. And he's like, I can't explain. You just got to go in.
But the landlord, they called the landlord already by this point, right?
I don't know.
Is this particular case the reason why Taps also doubles as a plumbing company?
Oh, Taps. From the Ghost Hunters show from Sci-Fi?
I don't remember. I never really watched that show.
So, like, during the day, they would be like, all right, we're plumbers. And they're, like, talking about the ghost hunting they were going to do that night. But they were, like it was a reality show. And they were plumbers.
By day, ghost hunters by night. Yeah. And it's probably because of this case.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, you got leaking walls? No pipes? Oh, yeah, it's definitely a haunting. A ghost
problem. It's like, we can deal with both of these things. Leaking pipes or demonic possession. We got you.
We're your guys.
Poltergeists, knocking water heaters.
Taps. So good news. It's just a succubus. It's going to be a little, it's going to be a lot cheaper than it would have been if it was like, we had to repair all those, pipes in the walls. But
dig up your floor. Yeah. This is easy. This is
bad news.
This is just your standard haunting.
You still need to snake a drain.
Yeah.
Just a succubus. We might have to, you know, sacrifice a lamb or two.
That's clever. Their shop is called Taps. Like taps, like ghost taps, but also
it stands for something. I don't know. It's been so. I'm like going back to 2004 when I used to watch that show, but I know they brought Ghost Hunters back, and everyone else except for like one of the guys has like gone off and done another show. So it's just like the one guy and just a bunch of new people. And I bet you they're not plumbers anymore because they don't have to be. But I do know that the El Paso Paranormal Society are TAPS approved, right? They're very proud to tell us that.
They will tell you 20 times they in have a tour.
They have an El Paso Paranormal Society?
Yeah. Yeah, we went on a tour of Concordia Cemetery, which is a very cool old cemetery where like the outlaw John Wesley Hardin is buried.
Do you think we can get an interview with the owner? That'd be kind of cool.
That would be cool, actually. And they probably would be down because they're all volunteers and they're very, very like excited to talk to people about ghosts.
That's super cool. We should try. I didn't even know that. That was a thing.
Yeah, we should. We're in Pennsylvania. I don't think we even said what state we're in.
The most beautiful blue eyes everybody has in
Pennsylvania. Everybody's got beautiful blue eyes in this case.
Stroudsburg? Is that what it's? Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania?
So it's raining in... Yeah, let's see, go with that. Sure. So it's raining in the house and there's, you know, no pipes and all the stuff we already talked about. And everybody, cops and everyone, all witnessed a raindrop like kind of appear out of nowhere and just shoot horizontally across
and play some weird synth sound at the same time. It was like a pew.
Yeah,
kind of like a
whoa. Oh, that was cool.
That's exactly how the water sounded.
So yeah, they even said rain looked like it was coming from the floor as well.
Yeah, and in the paranormal witness thing, they even show like rain literally like reverse dripping, like dripping up.
Oh no, party foul. Fuck. Grab some hay. We're okay.
So now we got water dropping up, down, to the side, everywhere.
Down, all around.
no explanation. They didn't know how to report it. Yeah, at some point during this, the landlord comes. I kind of forgot to mention that. But actually, no, you said it.
No, right? I said it. I don't know if he had gotten there at this point. But yeah, the landlord shows up with his wife.
Yeah, and because he's just like, you know, he's like, do I really have to come down there? Like, what the fuck?
I kind of thought it was like a Three's Company situation where he just like lived upstairs or downstairs. Come on, knock
on the door. He drove.
I've
been waiting for you.
They make it clear in the paranormal witness thing that he like had to go somewhere to get there. And he shows up with his... what's his name? Their last name is Van Wy, and I remember the wife's name because the wife's name is Romaine.
Romaine.
And yeah, so they were there, you know, just as astonished.
Like the lettuce.
Exactly. Just astonished and as amazed as
everybody else. They're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. And
he's like, there's no pipes on this side of the house. They're on the back. Everything.
So the cops, so they're like, this has been a weird night. So, the Kiefers and Don Decker.
Kiefer.
They go to this pizzeria, right?
Across the street to grab a bite, to grab some za.
Yeah. The landlord and his wife stayed in the rain, at the house in the rain to kind of just like see what was going on. And once they get to the restaurant, they noticed that Donnie was like in like a trance, like he was kind of looking off into nowhere. And they were pretty convinced he might be possessed. And then, of course, it starts raining in the pizzeria. So they're in the pizzeria. They go to eat some food. And, of course, it starts raining in the pizzeria.
And this is your favorite character, right?
Yeah, my favorite character enters. I don't know who the fuck she is. Like, she works at the pizzeria, right? She works
there, yeah.
And she's, like, their friend because they show her sitting down eating with them.
Yeah.
And she's just, like, she, like, gives them a crucifix.
She says, you need to call the priest.
Yeah, you need to call the church. You need to call the church.
The church.
She's got, like, a hardcore accent. And she's like, you got to call the church.
Fuck the plumber.
And then she gives him a crucifix that apparently they had in the cash register.
Yeah, cause that's what I was going to say. Like, does everybody have a crucifix at the pizza place? But you pointed out, it is definitely a Catholic Italian.
When you are mugged at 11:45 p.m. by Dracula at a pizza shop, then you'll know why there's a crucifix.
It is Pennsylvania, isn't it?
Yeah.
In the register.
Yeah.
Fuck the 45.
Has that happened to, like, lots of Draculas? Lots of
Draculas.
We get so many Draculas in this Pennsylvania.
It's not Staten Island. I was thinking of What We Do in the Shadows. It's not Staten Island or New Zealand.
Pennsylvania's like the Ellis Island for Draculas.
So they had a crucifix, and they made him touch it, and it burned his hand. Like, they watched the sizzle and everything.
Oh, and they put it around his neck. He's like, they're like, you just wear it. Just wear it.
Just wear it. You got to call the church. So once they get back to the house, Romaine and her husband are, like, up in arms. And Romaine, the landlord's wife, just starts, like, accusing Don Decker. Like, this is your fault. You know, you're doing all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, as she's being an accusatory, mean motherfucker,
laying down the law,
all the pans start rattling, and then all of a sudden Don Decker levitates, and all of a sudden green light came out from everywhere.
I mean, like his asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where you went. I was just making a joke about the
moment the brown eye became the green eye.
I was just making a joke about the fucking, like, set decoration or, like, whatever, the color scheme.
Well, like, you said it came out of everywhere.
Just a bright light just started shining out of his keister. Keister. How come no one says keister anymore? Keister's...
That's right, keister.
Keister
wreck.
Is underused.
That's right, it is keister. Right in his keister. Kiefer, you see the green light coming out of his keister?
Hey, Kiefer. Well, that was their last name, but it's fine. Imagine. Yeah, one thing. Okay, Paranormal Witness, they actually show the light coming directly out of his asshole. No, that's not true. Okay, sorry. I'm glad that I wrote this down because I totally forgot. While they're interviewing Don Decker in the talking head in Unsolved Mysteries, he is outside of a window and it's raining really hard. Did you notice that?
No, uh-uh.
Like, while he's talking, it's like...
Do you think that they added that? Is that an effect?
Like, no,
they
just... no, that's his haunting.
I like to think it's a happy accident. It was just raining that day and they were like, let's go for it.
Fucking film it. Film it right now. We got to get this shot.
Or they had like a full-on like rain unit outside of the window for that's an Unsolved Mystery shoot. Like, I don't think so.
Actually...
It's Pennsylvania. It probably just was raining.
Little secret, how that happened was the groundskeeper was watering the grass outside of the building, and during one of the takes, he hit the window, and they're just like, tell Jerry just hold the hose on the window.
Keep it going. Keep it going.
And they added in the, like, Amazon soundscapes.
Yeah.
After.
They added Amazon sleep sounds.
So the two officers that were there earlier that were dumbfounded, they bring in their chief, and the chief just fully denies this shit.
Yeah.
He's like, this is weird. This is a plumbing problem. Get out of here, guys. And he, like, told them not to make a report.
He forbade them to go back.
Yeah, he's like, this isn't, then the deputy or the lieutenant was like, this is a police problem. They're helpless. In the reenactment, he says, I don't know if that really happened.
They're not helpless. They need a plumber.
Call the plumber. Fuck the plumber.
So the chief is just like, yeah, he doesn't even want them to make a report, right? Like he doesn't. They're not even able to make a report.
He even wants them just to leave. He's like, get out of here. Like, what are you guys doing here?
But the next day, against the chief's wishes, three officers, go against the chief and they go over to investigate. And one of the cops handed him a golden cross. And they all, like, the cops witnessed him holding this cross and it burning his hand.
Not just that.
They put a bag on his head.
A brown paper bag over his head, which was a weird.
Oh, yeah. They put a bag over his head before they give him the crucifix.
This was not in that
double blind.
Either. Yeah. That was weird.
They don't. First
did they give him anything, like, to kind of, like, switch it up to make him think it was a cross? Like, you know.
I don't know. They don't say.
Because it would be kind of pointless to put a bag in the head, like, all right, now we're handing you the cross. Right.
Like, put like some dice first. Like, okay, put some car keys, and now we're going to put the cross and see what happens.
But after they give him the cross and it burns in his hand, they said that he lifted off the ground, and then he just got pushed into the corner. And they explained it like a bus hit him, like an invisible bus hit him with a lot of force.
And the paranormal witness, that scene was a little bit better. They showed... Yeah. They don't show that. They don't show
like, the crucifix. It's like they actually like hired a stuntman and had him like flop against the wall.
And he got thrown in the corner. It looked like it hurt.
Also, after they like you know, went up to him after he gets thrown into the wall. He had claw marks on his neck.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when they call the evangelical preacher who comes in and attempts an exorcism. And in the Unsolved Mysteries, she looks a little like...
Miss Cleo?
I want to say, yeah, Miss Cleo. I was going to say cliche, but like stereotypical, but...
Like voodoo woman?
Yeah, like a stereotypical like voodoo type, like Caribbean, like she has like lots, it's a black woman who's got like, you know, like the whole mystic garb, if you will. I don't even know what to call it. And they call it, but she was supposed to be an evangelical preacher, which is like... Yeah, not how I would imagine that kind of person to look. And then in the Paranormal Witness episode, they just had some white lady reading out of a Bible.
Basic white woman.
So I don't know if we're just trying to uncover, like, one of these two was racist. We just can't figure out which one. Like, either she was whitewashed or either she was just, like, ugly.
Because
like,
also,
stereotyped as, like, a black person.
Because also the Unsolved Mysteries... When they later on, we'll talk about this. He's in the prison, and his prison mate is white. But then in the Paranormal Witness, he's a black man. So yeah. We don't know which one is being racist.
And these probably aren't even anybody being racist. It's extras they had. But you know, you're listening to a podcast about a very specific episode of Unsolved Mysteries, and this is which.
This is something that we thought about.
So the evangelical preacher just prays hard, and everything stops pretty much, right? Mm-hmm. He starts seizing and she starts praying and then his body relaxes and that's it for the water in the house. So they send his ass back to jail because he still had to, you know, serve time for receiving stolen goods.
Yeah, whatever. Stolen merchandise, whatever.
We'll just assume he stole a bunch of fucking frozen fish food like that other guy. So they put him in a maximum security cell and of course water starts you know, coming out of the concrete floor and every which way. And like his prison mate was like freaking out, like, get me out of here. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, he told the cops he could straight up control it. And then he pretty much, the cops like, hey, oh yeah. And then he's like, hit up Officer McClacky in, you know, five rooms in the other building. His name was Keenholz. Officer Keenholz. And apparently he gets his shirt wet from, like...
Yeah, this... Actually, do it. He shoots the water from his jail cell. Hey.
Okay, wait, before you do it. Okay. Yo, I'm Officer Keenhold. I'm sitting here doing some paperwork, minding my own business. Oh, there's some water on me. Oh, Don Decker, I know it's you, Rain Boy.
We know it was Rain Boy.
I don't know why I talk like this.
And that has been podcast theater.
That actually kind of just sounded like rain. It was applause.
Yeah, okay. It was applause.
Yeah, they freaked out the officer and they called a preacher. And he told the preacher he could just make it rain. He was like, I can make it rain. And the preacher didn't believe him. And then he said that while Don Decker was telling him this, that his demeanor changed and he smelt an evil smell. And then he made it rain by showering everybody in dollar bills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he rubbed his fingers together. And then the dollar bill just
shot. Dollar bills just strippers and dollar bills just came out of the
instead of
walls.
A green light, green money came out of his keister.
Out of his keister. Keister.
You know, like one of those guns. Have you seen those guns where you stack stacks of money and then they
shoot? Yeah, shoots. But his butt.
But it's his butt.
Oh man, I need one of those.
I wish if only it produced money.
So yeah, he does like he takes his thumb and four pointy finger and rubs them together, and then he starts the rain. Thank you, Dad. And the priest, which we haven't explained about the priest and the different takes on the priest is in the reenactment for Unsolved Mysteries, it's a priest who has like dirt on his head to make it look like his hair is gray.
Gray.
Really bad gray dye.
You're sure it's not Ash Wednesday?
Oh, yeah.
Could be Ash Wednesday.
Could have been Ash Wednesday. He just got over there. And then they show him alive as an older man. And the older version of this actual priest, the actual man who did this, is wearing white on white, like his little priest collar thingy.
Yeah.
With a white shirt instead of the white, you know, with the black where it actually stands out. And then he's got a purple blazer.
Oh, yeah. And white hair. He looks like a televangelist.
Yeah. And he's got really cool frames, too. Like, this was high fashion for, you know, an older Catholic priest.
Oh, yeah.
I would say it's pretty high fashion for the, you know, 93. I think we're still in 93, right?
We are in 93.
And he explained it. He said this wasn't normal rain. He said it was a mist. The devil's mist.
The devil's mist. Or as Dan likes to say, the devil's coon.
Dad's having fun. I think there is one of those.
There is. He played it right now.
I got rid of it.
Oh, you did?
I'm only allowed 4 effects on the sound pad, and I don't know if I can edit them while recording.
Don't even mess with it.
Yeah, it's great. I think the funny rain sound, rain shooting across is good. Did you guys see that?
I can feel the rain.
Where'd it come from?
So as he's praying, as his pastor is praying.
Priest. I think he was a priest.
As this priest is praying over Don, Don's like, "You can't save me. Don't save me. Don't pray." And then he says, "Prayer. I will pray. Prayer is my prerogative."
Which David said, "Isn't that a Beyonce song?"
It's my favorite Beyonce single.
Prayer is my prerogative.
Yeah. It's about her being independent after Jay-Z slept on the couch after playing too much FIFA. It's one of her best songs. Another cool, interesting thing that we totally would have missed because we were talking over it is that he says that while he was praying over Don, the whole room started raining, but the Bible never got wet.
Oh, yeah. The pages in the Bible never got wet.
So the power of the Lord Jesus Cristo and the Virgin Mary Guadalupe protected just a book. So that's cool. Just kidding. No, I think that's a cool detail. I am not a criminal profiler, but I'm not a criminal profiler by any means, but I think this priest I would say he believed what he said. Right?
I think so.
Like he wasn't lying about what he saw.
No, I don't think any of them are, which is crazy because the cops,
it's weird.
It's very weird. It's something I've never heard of before.
So once again, he prays with Don until the rain stops.
And after that, they said it never happened again.
Yeah, he said thank you. He had tears in his eyes, and they prayed together after.
That was just from the rain.
And right? Who knows? And he said it was. And the priest also assured us that it was not of God, which I thought was kind of a scary sentence. Mm-hmm. Definitely not of God.
Are we done?
He thinks the grandpa might have been involved. Don thinks the grandpa might have been involved. And like we said, yeah, the last note I have here is just that everything's a credible witness. Everybody's a credible witness.
I have an update.
Oh, we got lots of updates on this.
There's an update. To prove that the priest prayed the devil away, he tried to prove that he could no longer control the water by setting a building on fire and tried to put it out.
Yeah.
And did not succeed.
Is that what?
That's why he's in jail for arson. He was trying, it was a drunk bet, and he's just like, "Oh, I can do it. Like, watch, guys, set the building on fire. I'll make the walls rain. And then the fire will be out." And it did not.
Don, you're Donald, you're drunk.
A little context on that is that the only update we actually have is that in 2012, No, 2013.
No, 2012.
2012, which was the year after he would have done the Paranormal Witness
episode. Which was in 2011.
He got arrested
for arson?
For setting a restaurant on fire in the Poconos. And what's weird about this is he turned himself in, so I guess he didn't do a good job because he just had to be like, okay, yeah, you're right, it was me.
It's because he was trying to prove to the owners that he could control the water at the pizza joint, and it did not happen.
Are you sure it wasn't just because the bad service? Most people just leave a bad Yelp review.
I'm going to burn this motherfucker down. Oh. I'm serious.
He was unhappy because it was a rainforest cafe. It wasn't up to snuff.
You know what's funny is it rains in the Rainforest Cafe every, like, what, 15, 30 minutes?
Every 30 minutes, it gets a mist sting.
It's got a cue. It's funny.
It's kind of annoying.
The animals go all crazy.
Because it does.
Oh, the sounds?
Yeah, it has sounds. But it fucking sucks when you order, like, the sizzling fajita platter, and they're bringing it out, and it starts to fucking mist, and you just see that. Who knows where that water's coming from? It could be coming from the aquarium at the entrance that the kids spit
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
Just misting on
right
your
right there
fajitas.
Where the alligator is.
Fucking food.
That's funny. That was
That's
a funny
so
joke.
Funny.
The Rainforest Cafe.
I haven't been to Rainforest Cafe since I was a little kid, but.
My kids love it. We
I
have
secretly
one.
Love them.
We have one in
Grapevine. The Galleria, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
My,
no, not the Galleria. At Grapevine Mills. I saw a couple break up at a Rainforest Cafe, Jocelyn and I. Because we were doing some shopping, and it's like the only place in the mall that you can get a drink. That and the Chili's. But the Chili's was on the other side. We parked by the Rainforest Cafe. So we're like, let's just grab a drink at the Rainforest Cafe, whatever. So we're sitting at the bar, and this couple behind us is fighting. Yeah, that's exactly what it was like. This couple behind us was fighting, and he got up to close his tab with the bartender. And we just saw them arguing and break up. And then the last thing she said to him was, I'll see you later, Paul. And walked off.
Jan and I both gasped at the same time.
And she was a looker, man. She was blonde, like older woman. And you could tell he was like probably on his like fourth marriage, maybe. I don't know. No. He looked like a pretty successful man.
Well, like a rich man who has multiple pretty young wives.
Yeah. And she just like, see you later, Paul.
Did he look like the kind of guy that walks into a bar, sits down and goes, can I get a quad of whiskey in a pint glass with –
Yeah, he kind of looked like that. He was like red. He was really red and tan.
What happened to Don Decker? In all nine eyewitnesses, 10, counting Don himself, are willing to go on public record claiming they saw, heard, and felt phenomena apparently not of this world. Is it possible that Don Decker, somehow mesmerized by the pain of a childhood trauma, stumbled into another world which none of us can fathom? Or was Don Decker perhaps trapped in some murky region of his own psyche? His power to do good and his power to do evil, locked in combat with Don's own body as a battlefield.
So, yeah, I mean, just the end of that case, like we've been saying the whole time, we might have been making fun of Rainboy the whole time, but, like, everybody's a pretty credible, successful adult in this story, and it's weird.
And David had a point. No, at no point in either of the segments when they interviewed Donald Decker does he give any insight to what he experienced at all.
God damn it. Thanks for bringing that up because I remember I was saying that while we were watching this. I was like, once again, no insight, no help. He's like, it was raining and it was weird.
Yeah. Go watch them. Go watch the episodes. You can watch the Paranormal Witness on Peacock.
Yeah, that's on Peacock, season 1, episode 6, and yeah, obviously season 5, 18.
By the way, it's not that good. But yeah. And it's an entire 46 minutes, so like...
Yeah, they really draw it out.
Yeah.
There's lots of CGI rain.
Oh, that rain was terrible.
Not even CGI rain. I would say that's like iMovie 6...
2011, like, you would think that the special effects would be a little better by then.
Well,
hey, yeah. That's iMovie 9.
We had a budget.
Sorry, yeah.
They kept going back to that shot where it was like rain on the table.
They spent a lot of money on that. That was like establishing three quarters shot. Of the budget.
That was their establishing shot. Like, let's get back into the house. All right, here's
some kid here's had to pay $150 for the premiere version of iMovie.
I will tell you, Unsolved Mysteries did the rain better, I got to say.
They better have.
That's what I'm saying. Physical, real practical effects will last way longer than like a shitty, rain sequence from 2010.
So what did
CGI.
They just put misters in the house and they just like let that go and Unsolved Mysteries probably?
Well, they have like tools to like make it look like it's raining. Like they're like these like back then they were like these, how'd you explain them, Dan? Like these like pretty much these like metal like lines that they like hoisted over everybody.
Let me show you a very dry 30-minute episode of Movie Magic that explains about Jerry's rain machine.
Yeah, Jerry makes a rain machine. It's like sprinklers over people and they just,
Sometimes they put milk in it to make it read on cameras.
Yeah, because the regular raindrops don't like come up on cameras, so it's just a waste.
Yeah.
So then, yeah.
Come up.
Come. Say come again.
Coom. All right. Let's get to this unexplained death. This is about this biker who was just like mysteriously shot
the leader of the pack.
Yeah,
and vroom.
And sorry, it's a good song.
And who they'll never figure, they'll never solve this case ever.
Yeah, this is a really tragic one. No answer. February 24th, 1992. It's weird that all these are February 1992. Like all the everything in this episode happens in February 1992.
The shimmering lights of San Francisco Bay can be seen from more than a dozen surrounding communities. On the evening of February 24th, 1992, one of those communities became the scene of a tragic, unsolved murder. At 8:33 p.m., a man slowly approached a gas station in Emeryville, across the bay from San Francisco. He was hunched over his motorcycle, weaving in an erratic and perilous fashion.
Falls off his bike and, you know, the ambulance is called and... on the way to the ambulance, I don't even think he makes it to the hospital, right? He dies on the way.
He dies on the way.
He had a weak pulse. They couldn't see the injuries right away, so they were very confused. You know, how like unresponsive he was. There was no bleeding that they could see at all either. He was rushed to the hospital with 3 shots.
Yeah, they said it was a small caliber pistol, so that's probably why there was little to no blood.
Yeah, 1 shot in the knee, 1 shot in the abdomen, and the fatal shot was in his aorta. They said the wounds were nearly invisible when he died. And the victim was 30-year-old Michael Hunter. He was a bike racer that everybody liked. He raced motorbikes. His mom says that he survived many dangerous things, and he died in this weird way, which was straight-up murder.
She said that... he always wanted to ride bikes and did kind of dangerous stuff because if he died, it would be on his terms.
Yeah, it'd be something he died doing something he liked. And they do say that even in the competitive world of motorcycle racing, that he had no enemies. He was a nice guy. He just had the need for speed.
Vroom, vroom.
Oh, man, you can't get that. Dan's just doing sound effects on his own now. So this guy competes in California motorcycle competitions throughout the 80s, and he's pretty good. Everybody likes him. His friend Rachel is one of the talking heads, and she says that he was a great teacher. She taught him to ride clean, whatever that means. I'm sure that means something important. February 24th in the evening, this is kind of the breakdown of the day, his last day alive. So February 24th in the evening, he goes for a ride at 7:45. It's a clear day, no breeze. He goes to an ATM.
It's a cool night, unusually warm for a January.
February.
Yeah, the lady says it was like a summer night or whatever.
She says it like multiple times. It's like, we get it. It was a warm February night.
It was unseasonably warm this February.
So clear, no breeze. He withdraws $20 from the ATM. They have like pictures of that. It was uneventful. It just shows him, get the money and leave. Then he goes to a liquor store, gets a pint of whiskey, and the rest from here is what they call conjecture, but I call fan fiction. Like, nobody knows what the fuck happened after this. Maybe he goes to this frontage road and enjoys the breeze. A nice view, a place that he's been before. And what they think is maybe somebody robbed him and tried to get the bike from him. And he drove off in order to get away and just got shot by this gun. And that was that. And it doesn't make the most sense. Like, I don't know if he was at the specific spot they thought on this frontage road. But I could see him, like, getting robbed. Like, even maybe after the ATM, just getting on his bike and someone robbing him.
They said he went to the ATM and then the liquor store. So, unless they followed him.
Sorry, the liquor store.
They could have followed him.
So, maybe after the liquor store... You know, somebody tries to rob him, and then he's like, fuck no. And he's like, I got a fucking motorcycle. I'm going to get away. And then he just gets shot.
Yeah.
And two places where he would have been okay, but the one where he wasn't going to make it through. But, I mean, the way they end this case, which is a pretty fast one, is like, the lady's like, there should be more information about this case. And there should. He was on a red, white, and blue bike, dressed in red, white, and blue. And, somebody should have seen something.
Right.
And at the time of this case, there was a $10,000 reward for any information. And it's completely unsolved. Like, like Eli said,
I don't think it's going to.
I don't see that changing.
Nope. Not at all. But what's incredible is he drove for some miles injured with these injuries. And, like.
That's another thing. Like, they were saying at the beginning, like, oh, man, you know, his training and his expertise and. if you drove over this frontage road, that's like, you know, it's not like a, that's not a short ride, but it's like, we don't know how long he drove, you know, true. We have no idea.
It could have happened right, you know,
right before. Right around the corner.
Yeah. We're just speculating.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a, that one sucks because there is really no answer. All right. Fraud case. Fraud, friggity fraud. This is a case that also happened in February of 1992.
That's so weird.
The ER team in
busy month
in Danbury, Connecticut.
So many unsolved things in February of 92.
Yeah. Well, I guess this was solved. Like, they found his name. I don't know. So, okay.
February. No, but I'm saying at the time when they aired this, people were like, what happened?
What the fuck was up with February of 92?
That was a weird, that was a weird month.
Just before 9 a.m. on February 11th, 1992, the emergency team at a Danbury, Connecticut hospital springs into action.
Intubation. Start recording.
The patient, a man registered as Tom Hughes, is in the grip of a severe cardiac arrest. For 90 minutes, doctors and nurses labor to revive him.
All right, give me the pills.
However, all their efforts are in vain. At 10:20, the man known as Tom Hughes is pronounced dead.
Charge.
When the hospital dutifully attempted to contact the man's wife, they discovered that her name and phone number were bogus. So were the patient's social security number, address, occupation, and employer. Tom Hughes simply did not exist.
In his possessions were a receipt for a hospital in California and a bus ticket to Connecticut. And that's where they were, in Connecticut. Basically, this guy was a grifter? I don't know what he was. He was a professional hospital patient.
That's weird.
That's what Robert Stack calls him. And they think that this obsession with always being sick and trying to get pills is probably what led to his early demise. So basically, this guy would stay at the hospital for 3 to 7 days and then dip out without paying and then go to another hospital and do the same thing. They think he was...
But you're forgetting the most clever grift that he had going on. While he was at the hospital, he'd ask for a phone book and a phone and call a personal injury lawyer. And when they came and did a consult, he would talk about like, oh, yeah, you know, I was working on a construction site and I slipped and I fell. Oh, Doc, I'm a little short on some cash, and my wife's going to be coming to visit. Do you think you could give me a $20 or $40 to, you know, get something from the gift shop? And, of course, the lawyers would be like, well, yeah, I'll just add it to your tab. Here you go, $40. And then he would check himself out and take a Greyhound to the next town over and start the process all over again.
So he was, like, nickel and diming these personal injury lawyers.
Yeah, but it's weird that they think that he had Munchausen. At the end, they think he had Munchausen syndrome, which we always hear Munchausen by proxy, which is like, you know,
when you're taking mom care
making
of,
a kid sick or wife making a husband sick in order to like control.
So is this kind of like a hypochondriac, but not?
It's like if a hypochondriac like made themselves sick or injured.
Yeah.
Eli, do you have any excess mercury laying around?
Oh, yeah, I do right here in my
pocket.
Sweet.
Thank you.
I mean, that's the only thing that I can...
Here you go.
Fathom. I don't know. I could be wrong as well, though. We're not experts. We're just fans. They think he was a pain pill... Wait.
Pain pill junkie?
So, yeah. They think he was after the pain pills.
That sounds like a cool name
for... Is that like Pinball Wizard? Pain pill
junkie.
Pill junkie sounds like a cool name for like a...
You know song, what's a, one of my favorite title. One of my favorite movies is Drugstore Cowboy. Oh, not one of my favorite movies, but it's a movie that I like.
The name.
And it sounds so cool, but yeah, it's just about Matt Dillon and I think like Heather Graham, somebody else. Matt Dillon robbing prescription drugstores and just getting all pilled out. Drugstore Cowboy. It's actually I don't know. I want to say it's good, but it's been so long. I was really into Gus Van Sant when I was 20.
While shoving down the pills down the throat, did he go, all right.
That's Matthew
McConaughey. Matt Dillon.
I just heard Matt and was like, oh, all right.
I'm pretty sure there's like some movie where they like coexist. Or I don't know.
Matt Dillon.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Yumi and Dupree with Owen Wilson and Matt Dillon.
Wow.
Matt Dillon, way cooler than Matt Damon.
You take that back.
Okay, I take it back.
I'm trying to think about...
I don't want to die on that horse because they're both fine. So they think he was after the pain pills and he would just go and... minorly injure himself and enough to get in the hospital and just get the pain pills. And then, you know, and then from there plot the next place he's going to stay into a hospital and get more pain pills from. The investigating officers said they were able to track him from California to Rhode Island with a lot of places in between.
What, receipts? How did they track him?
It's Unsolved Mysteries. I don't fucking know.
It's vague. It's vague. Too vague.
The night before he died of his cardiac arrest, well, the day, on that day, he made 26 calls, and they were, like Dan said, they were all to lawyers. He told them a sad, sappy story, and then he wanted to borrow money from them. So just taking these excessive amounts of painkillers, you know, for every little reason is probably why he died. The whole Munchausen thing is probably why he died. He was 277 pounds when he died as well, but they're kind of guessing that he probably gained a lot of this weight
from ever just since he staying was, in hospitals, right? Because yeah. He was just sedentary, like didn't move for shit, didn't exercise.
Yeah, just like went like, all right, where am I going to get my next pill fix? God, pills are not that fun.
From wheelchair Jesus. To cab to Greyhound to wheelchair.
Exactly. Wheel me into this new medical facility. The only update that we have is that his real name is Thomas Patrick White, and he's still dead.
Yeah. Killed him.
Yeah, I mean, just his – it's weird. They say it's Munchausen, but I feel like Munchausen is just you making yourself sick on purpose, and this is more like – he would hurt himself in order to get some painkillers. I don't know. I don't know if it's exactly the same thing, but yeah, that's that story.
Yeah.
It's a wild one. Yeah. I mean, there's really no good ending to that. Like, we don't know who this guy is. Like, I mean, we do now, and he's still dead. And then the last case is a lost loves that's really sad, right?
Oh, like, it's so sad.
It's about this, I don't know. Let's give the rundown. So there's this little girl who's got a great set of parents that she loves.
I thought you were going to say something else. I'm so glad you said parents.
Little girl's got really nice parents that she loves. She finds a bunch of paperwork in the room, and it's this little girl's birth certificate, and it's not her parents' name on the birth certificate, but she notices that it's her date of birth or whatever. So she finds out she's adopted. So this couple was also best friends with another couple. And they also had a daughter. So these two girls grew up together and they loved each other and they were best buds.
They were close.
And they discovered, she discovered after all this stuff that this girl was her sister. So these two couples adopt these two girls that are sisters and they raise them together because they're friends. One of these couples, the wife dies and the dad has to give the daughter up. Basically back to her biological parents. Who at this point are like, you know, more well equipped to handle that. And then this girl never sees her friend again. So this girl's pretty much just trying to find her sister.
Her sister. Yeah.
The another important thing to point out is like I don't think that these parents were they just didn't have the financial responsibility to take care of kids, but
they were doing it to give their daughters a better life, I think.
Yeah, they seemed like good people because the parents would take this little girl to this eatery. A really busy eatery where the mom worked and apparently the dad ended up working because this couple stayed together. They just couldn't afford a kid. Mm-hmm. So they were able to like, you know,
see their kids grow up.
Yeah. Like through this restaurant that they worked at, which is really sad.
Yeah.
But so eventually after this one couple, the wife dies, one of the girls goes back with their parents and this other girl stays with her parents. And she's been trying to find her sister ever since. And she doesn't.
Really, well, right? I think she does, but she'd already passed away.
From what I could find online, she is able to find her mom.
Yeah.
And her mom tells her that her sister passed away.
That's so sad.
So we don't know if that's like a happy ending, but yeah, it just kind of ends like that. It's kind of a bummer. It's a really nice story about how those people just took over and raised those kids. But yeah. It's a lost loves and it's a bummer. So sorry if I'm rambling and I didn't really take notes because
it's a lost loves and it's a bummer.
Yeah. I mean, they're all bummers. You know, people die, but at least like, you know, one of them had like fun pill grifting and yeah. So that's that episode. It's a really big, fun, crazy episode. Rain Boy, Yeah, I wonder if he's making rain in jail right now. I wonder if he's still in jail. Who knows? It's a while ago.
It was a while ago. Look him up. He's probably got a Facebook now.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks for hanging out with us. Thank you, Eli and Dan. It's been really fun to do this in the same room together.
It's always refreshing when we do this in the same room.
It's nice to know you're still alive, Eli.
I know. I'm sorry.
It's nice to know that...
the fuck was that?
That was the rain, baby.
It's raining in here.
I just sent that rain.
That was one of those weird little horizontal rains just shooting across.
Imagine we were podcasting and it fucking started raining in here. That'd be amazing.
I would not like that. And then Don Decker like opened the door and said like, I don't know what's going on, guys. Sorry, I'm Rain Boy. And just was no help.
Yeah, no help at all. Get out of here, fucking Donald.
Thanks, guys. This was fun. Come and listen to us next time.
Next time. We don't know if it's going to be next week. Could be next month. I don't know. Fuck it. We might take fall off and come back in winter.
Yeah, we don't know. It's free. Shut up. thanks for listening. I'm David Howell at DavyHowell.com. Wait, we never give
DavyHowell.com? What was that?
At DavyHowell at gmail.com. We don't give our tags anymore. Follow us on at the Stack Pack on Twitter and Instagram. Leave us a review on iTunes. Come on, don't be a jerk. Also,
a good review.
You can donate. Yeah, it's got to be good. Donate directly to us. You can if you want to at anchor.com. And yeah, I mean, anytime you listen to me talk about Anchor, you're giving us some sense. So that's nice. But yeah, we could use more because
Let us quit hopefully our jobs. The next podcast we produce, I will be back out in the road in some random hotel.
I brought you the equipment. I was using that equipment for a little bit in my
hopefully we my can home. Record during more pandemic. Often.
Yes.
Because I just got during this podcast my requirements
for what?
For the show. And it basically stipulates that I'm allowed to basically leave my hotel room to go to work and only work.
Oh yeah.
So.
Oh,
so you're gonna be because you're gonna be in your hotel just like
locked in.
Yeah, like
it's gonna be great. Quarantine. I'm gonna go to a bunch of cities in America and I'm gonna see the hotel rooms.
You should do an Instagram and like rating. You can call it like Hotel
Dan.
Hotel Dan.
Rate hotels. That'll be fun.
Once I start moving around, I'll start telling all our listeners where I am and maybe do stop by and wave at me through the window.
Yeah. Oh, like Daniel Sloss. Oh, man. This is one of our favorite comedians, this Scottish boy.
You can Daniel leave Sloss. Whiskey offerings at my windowsill and I will have the busboy bring them in for me.
Yeah. We were following him on his story for 2 weeks when he was quarantining in Australia to start his comedy tour. And like people started, he was in this really high rise Sydney hotel and people did start coming out and like with signs like, oh, there's some fans. Oh yeah, they're waving at me.
That's
like,
funny.
He would like, he had a review of his breakfast every morning.
That's hilarious.
He's a really good comedian. Daniel Sloss was kind of like if Macaulay Culkin was Scottish and a stand-up comedian.
He doesn't sponsor us. I wish he did. If he's listening,
he'd probably call us fucking cunts.
Sponsor these twats.
Thank you so much for listening to us, guys. It's been a joy. I hope it's been as much of a joy as it was to record as it is for you to listen. And hopefully it hasn't been as long as it took us to record this. But have a good time. Thank you, Dan, Eli, and thank you, me.
You know, pat on the back, David. Good job.
Good
man.
Job, me.
Good job.
I don't know. I didn't do David. Shit. For every mystery, there's someone somewhere who knows the truth. Perhaps that someone is listening, and perhaps that someone is you. That's right. You. Val Kilmer.
It's been a great episode, Val guys. Kilmer. Thanks for listening.
No, that's George Clooney.
That is George Clooney. Sorry. Alright, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the support. And scene.
Oh, God damn it.